We're opening tonight, I hope you have your Bibles with you, to Matthew 11, which contains some of my favorite Bible verses. I suppose they're yours too, especially those ones at the end where Jesus said, come unto me all. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. But we're going to look near the beginning of the chapter at one of the penetrating questions that Jesus asked the people of his day. We're reading verses 7 through 14. And we see Jesus asking the multitudes about John the Baptist. And I guess the question for us could be, what are you looking for? Or as it says in the Tenney book, what's the big attraction? Well, Jesus said this, asked this about John. As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. John the Baptist is a most interesting figure. Shows up right at the beginning of the New Testament. He really is an Old Testament character. He's one of the prophets and a great, great man. Jesus says, the greatest until now. What a great man he was. You know his story. He was born of elderly parents, and he was chosen by God for an unusual, unique, peculiar ministry. I guess it's an unpopular ministry to be a preacher of repentance. And he had things to say that were very difficult to hear, but there was something about him that drew the multitudes to him. I suppose they enjoyed hearing him speak to the soldiers as strongly as he did, and speak to other of the higher authorities or echelons as strongly as he did. This man tells it like it is, and they flocked to him. And he preached repentance, and so many people repented of their sins, and they were baptized by John the Baptist. They confessed their sins. He demanded that of them. And they were people who were a proud people. Remember how they prided themselves about being descendants of Abraham, who was the friend of God? And he cut them down on that one too. Don't be proud that you're children of Abraham. God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones. And John would denounce sins, the sins of his hearers. He spoke directly. He wasn't speaking about, well, I've heard people say in church, they've heard a sermon against the evils of well, gay marriage, for instance, and there's not one person, not one person in that congregation to whom that applies, you know. So here we go, oh yeah, we agree with this. But there's no chance that any of them are going to sin along that line. But John the Baptist directed his sermons at the people's sins, the people that he was hearing. Oh, that we're hearing him, excuse me. And he said, "O generation of vipers," to them, "who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Well, John the Baptist also took on the local leader, or the king, Herod, who was a tyrant, yes, and also a playboy, I guess we could say, and John took him to task for a great sin that he had committed. He actually stole his brother's wife and married her, and she was also his own niece. And I think his subjects were upset by his sin, this violation of their own sacred law. They couldn't do anything about it, of course, but John wasn't afraid. He said, "It is unlawful for you to have her." And he apparently didn't care about the results. You remember how it was. His wife became enraged. I guess she was happier with Herod than with his brother. And she became enraged that he criticized the arrangement. And so Herod imprisoned John the Baptist and later executed him. I suppose you know that story well, but this Matthew 11 starts when John was in prison. He was languishing there, and he began to have his doubts, strangely enough, or at least questions about Jesus. He sent his disciples, he had some followers that he could send to Jesus, to ask Jesus, inquiring as to whether he were really the Master, the Messiah. You know, John had announced the Messiah. That was his particular role, to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight a pathway for God. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness that we read about in other prophetic writings. And Jesus answered those disciples that came from John, who wondered whether he was the Messiah that John had proclaimed. And he made it clear that he would let his own works answer the question. So here we must go back a little bit. It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, this is the beginning of the chapter, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Now that was a wonderful answer. You could say perhaps it was somewhat indirect. Just tell John what you have observed today, what you have seen happening under my ministry. Tell John. And he repeats, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them." Well, that comes from the prophetic words about the Messiah. You can find them in Isaiah 35. You can find them in Isaiah 61, about the poor having the gospel preached, the blind seeing, the lame walking, those are two references in particular that are specific to the Messiah. And here Jesus says, tell John that you saw these things happening. And Jesus knew that John would know what he was saying. Jesus knew that John knew those prophetic words, and that John would know what Jesus meant. And so they went back. Blessed is he, Jesus. Jesus added, whosoever shall not be offended in me. So when the messengers were there, Jesus didn't praise John directly. He just gave John his answer, which was a wonderful answer. It was better than just saying, yes, I am he that should come. Don't think you should look for another. Go back to the prison and tell that to John. No, he proved it through what John knew were the prophetic words about the Messiah. And that was a great thing. I'm sure it was very assuring and reassuring to John in prison as he was languishing there, and the questions were coming up in his mind. But now the messengers leave, and Jesus says to the multitudes who had gone out to hear John, who had been impressed by his message, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? So what was the big attraction? What were you looking for? A reed shaken in the wind? Jesus had a high regard for John. He spoke about John's faithfulness to the truth, the standard of truth that John preached and stuck to. There was a real conviction about John's ministry. He didn't bend with the fashions of the times and the philosophies of the times. He preached the truth of God. It was very, very straight. There was a standard of truth. There was an integrity about John that Jesus praised here. He wasn't a man who was trying to fit in with his times, with the fashions of his times. Either those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. Well, he had challenged the king, and he wasn't one to just bend one way or the other. He was a man of conviction with real integrity, and Jesus praised him for that. There was a power in his ministry because of that. And Jesus said, so this is he of whom it is written. The prophetic word here is about John the Baptist. And you know that word that said Elijah was going to come before the Messiah came? That was about John the Baptist, he says. That word is written about John the Baptist. And this word, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, also from the book of Malachi, and which shall prepare thy way before thee. There are prophecies about John the Baptist in Malachi. There are prophecies about John the Baptist in Isaiah. Great and wonderful words that were given many years, hundreds of years before. And Jesus says this, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He had a standard of truth. He had an inner integrity. He had a prophetic message, and he wasn't afraid to sound it out. And it all had to do with the coming of Jesus, the coming of the kingdom of God, which was drawing near. And John was announcing the kingdom. And another theme of John's messages, I'm sure, was sacrifice. You remember his great word, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I'm sure he must have spoken about the lambs that were sacrificed under the Old Testament system. And then he says, there he is, the Lamb of God. He is the fulfillment of all that has gone before. I'm sure that sacrifice was part of John's message. And then this authority where he proclaimed that he was the Son of God who was coming, the Son of God who came forth from the Father, who spoke the words of God, to whom the Spirit was given without measure. John's special privilege was to announce the arrival of the full revelation of God in Christ. I wonder if you've wondered what Jesus meant when he said, among those born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And he seems to indicate that John the Baptist was greater than all the prophets that went before him. And you wonder, why could John the Baptist be greater than Isaiah? I mean, Isaiah, think of 40, 53, 61, all these, 35, all these messianic prophecies in the book of Isaiah and the powerful things that Isaiah spoke for God. What about Jeremiah? Could he have been greater than Jeremiah? And you go through some of the prophets and you wonder, what could it be that Jesus meant when he talked about the greatness of John the Baptist? He went a step farther than that when he said, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I once heard a professor, his name was D.A. Carson, preaching. He preaches at Trinity in Deerfield, Illinois, or he teaches at Trinity, I should say. And I heard him preaching on Matthew 11, and it was a great treat for me. And he spoke about this, and he said, do you ever get up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror and stand tall and say, I am greater than John the Baptist? And of course, we all laughed and said, well, you don't? Why don't you? That's biblical. But he went on to explain this in the way he sees it, and I liked it, and that's why I'm sharing it with you now. He said this, that John the Baptist's special privilege, while these other prophets prophesied many years before and gave somewhat fragmentary revelations of God or of Christ, the Messiah's coming and his ministry, as great as they were, they didn't have the same immediacy that John the Baptist's ministry had. He was sent to prepare the way, and he was sent to point him out directly. There he is. There he is. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so that was a special privilege that was his alone, and he fulfilled his ministry that was given to him. He must increase, but I must decrease. He knew his role. He knew it was to point out Jesus, the Messiah, the coming King, the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. John knew his place, and he had this special privilege that made him greater than all the others until he came. It was to announce the arrival of this revelation of God. That's who Jesus is, right? Jesus is the revelation of God. It says in John 1 that no one has seen God at any time but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. we beheld the glory of God in Christ, it says, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. We have beheld God. We do. We have seen. Jesus said it himself when Philip said, "Show us the Father." Toward the end of his earthly ministry, Philip said, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." We would like to see the Father. Won't you show him to us? And Jesus answered, "Have I been with you all this time, for such a long time, Philip, and yet you have not known the Father? He who has seen me has seen the Father." So Jesus Christ is the revelation of God to us. So the previous prophetic messengers, as we said, had certainly preached repentance, exposed the sins of the people, but they couldn't explain completely the way of God or the purpose of God in salvation. There were hints of it in their messages, but here comes John, who can point to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the Messiah, as the one who has been foretold, who will come and bring salvation to his people. And so there it is. That is what makes him greatest, said D.A. Carson. And I'm listening to him, and I thought, boy, I can't argue with that. That sounds right. Isaiah was great. Jeremiah was great. What could make John the Baptist greater? It must be that. That's what I thought. And you know, as he went on, it made sense to me that the least in the kingdom of heaven could be greater than John the Baptist. How is that? That sounds a little bold and maybe proud to think that we could be greater than John the Baptist, this unique and faithful servant of God who comes to such commendation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Greater than he? Well, Carson said, it would have to be along the same axis, the same line of argument. How could we be greater than John the Baptist? And it goes along with Merrill Tenney's question in the book, Who's Boss? What's the big attraction? What's the big attraction? Jesus said, what did you go out for to see? And the ultimate answer to that question was, John pointed to Jesus. You went out not to see a reed shaken in the wind, not to see a man dressed in soft raiment. But as I said, the ultimate answer is you went out to see the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom John's ministry pointed. And we who live on this side of the cross have a wonderful privilege. We can even more immediately and more, shall I say, completely express the Lord Jesus Christ to the people that are around us. We cannot see him. We cannot point out a human being walking along as John could. There he is. Behold, the Lamb of God. But we live on this side of the cross. We have been saved by the power of God. We have new life. We have Jesus living in our hearts. We can reflect his glory, his beauty. Our hearts have been cleansed. He is saving us from our sins and from ourselves, and he means for us to be transformed. That's God's purpose, that we be transformed into the image of Christ, and we can, better than John the Baptist could. And I don't mean to make us feel good about ourselves, or too good about ourselves, or too proud. I don't mean that, but I think this should humble us. We can, better than John the Baptist, show who Jesus is, because we have new life in Christ. We have, what did you say? We have died with him, and we live with him. Our baptism speaks of that. So in that way, this passage makes sense. You know, I've often questioned that. How could it be John the Baptist the greatest up till now? Jesus said it's got to be true. But how could it be? This is even a bigger puzzle. How could the least in the kingdom of heaven, I don't know who that is, it's probably me, but anyway, the least in the kingdom of heaven be greater than John the Baptist? And if you come along this same axis, this makes all the sense in the world. And what it does to me, it does humble me, and it makes me say, Lord, I got to do better to reflect you to the people around me, and to point you out, and to bring glory to you through my life, my redeemed life, my changed life, Lord, my life, your life lived out in me and through me, oh Lord. And I don't go around strutting or standing in front of the mirror thinking, hey, this is the way, I'm greater than John the Baptist. Nothing like that, but it's a responsibility. It's a great responsibility to show forth the beauty, the glories of Christ. And you can't do it. There's no way you can do it except that he has worked it for you and in you by his grace. Just before meeting, I was speaking to someone and we spoke about being men of grace. And men of grace, it's a phrase I had picked up from Isaac Watts. And I said, I want to be a man of grace. And he said, I want to be a man filled with grace. That was even better. And I said to myself, amen. That's right. Help me, Lord. Well, God's grace is given so that you can be greater than John the Baptist. No, so that you can show forth the beauties of Christ and point him to others. You know, he's the big attraction. He's the one. And it says, didn't Jesus say this too? If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh, to exalt Jesus. He's speaking about his cross being lifted up from the earth. Well, how deep has the cross gone into my life? How is it? Well, if we're in the kingdom, if Jesus is our king, even the least of us should be showing forth the wonderful beauty and the attraction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the way he spoke, the gracious words that proceeded from his lips. That should be enough to convict us right there. I want to be like Jesus. I just want to be like Jesus. Lord, I want to think your thoughts. I want to know your will. I want to get into your word. I want your word to work in me. I want to be changed as I behold you in this mirror of your word. I want to see you, and I want to be changed, as it says, yes, from glory to glory. That's your purpose. By the Spirit of God, as we behold you, Lord. So I thank you. The Lord is the Spirit, and he's at work, and he's making you greater than John the Baptist. No, he's making you someone who shows forth, who can point more directly than John could at Jesus. Of course, it's different. It's spiritual rather than actual, there he is, but here he is. He lives in your heart. He lives in your heart. Oh, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Let Jesus be known and seen in our lives. And I thank you for this little word, this penetrating question, what are you looking for? Whom are you looking for? What's the big attraction? Jesus, you're the big attraction. We're not the big attraction. John's not the big attraction. No, you are the big attraction. And oh Lord, may we see you more clearly. May we reflect you more brightly and clearly. In this darkness around us, may people see Jesus. May he be lifted up and exalted through our lives. Oh Lord, we thank you that you ever went to give your life on the cross. You were lifted up from the earth. Oh, the attraction of the cross. Oh, we thank you, Lord, and we pray that cross life shall, we shall know some of that and more of it in our own experience, and then live unto you, unto your praise, and unto your glory. Fill us, Lord, with your spirit, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said that we don't think we're greater than John. I want to tell you something. Jesus didn't say that in front of John either. John wasn't sitting in prison going, no one's better than I was. No one who ever went before me. He didn't even know it. He didn't know it. But Jesus, I think, put it here for us. Maybe he thought he could trust us with it. I don't know. But probably he thought he could challenge us with it. And I hope so. I trust so. I hope my heart is challenged. I want to see Jesus in his beauty and in his glory. And I want to be changed more and more to be a blessing for him and to live unto his praise. Lord, do that for all of us, we pray. Thank you. Thank you. We open our hearts to your gracious working. And we pray that you will fill us more and more with your spirit. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing number 199. 199, the unveiled Christ. Let us look full in his wonderful face. Behold him.
Once our blessed Christ of beauty was veiled off from human view, but through suffering, death, and sorrow, he has rent the veil in two.
Mighty conqueror, and he can win in our lives. God is for us. Let us stand as we sing on. And yes, he is with God the Father, interceding there for you. For he is the mighty conqueror. Oh, behold the man of sorrows. Oh,
praises due.
The Lord, and then all you who've been singing and praising the Lord with all your hearts, let's sing that chorus one more time and take a good look at Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Touch our eyes with eye salve. Let us see as you want us to see. Lord, fill all our vision, we pray, even this night, Lord, before we go to our places. Lord, bless those who spend more time in your presence. And each one of us, Lord, some must go at this time after we sing this chorus and praise you, Lord. They perhaps will need to get to their places. Lord, bless them. Bless them. Give us all a fresh sight of yourself. Give us all a hunger and thirst for you. We want to go after the things of God with all of our hearts, to be filled with your Spirit, to be changed into your likeness, Lord, by your Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, put this desire in each of our hearts, Lord, to fulfill in all of your good purpose, your loving design over us as your people. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Hallelujah. Amen. The chorus. Oh,
glory to Jesus.
Savior Jesus is. Oh, wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let us go to prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. We wait in your presence, Lord. You are revealing yourself, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for the wonderful working of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. To reveal to us our God and our Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Jesus.
Hallelujah.